First Peter chapter 5 here at verse 6, it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then it puts the colon there, which way, and goes into explanation, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So God tells us that we shall cast all our care upon him, and he says, for he cares for us. In other words, he says, when we don't cast our care upon him, then we won't be able to see how much he cares for us. That he wants us to cast our care. And we're looking at this in the next 21 days, proving God with this, understanding that first and foremost, we are casting our care. And when we talk about our care, which means that these are the things, all right, in our own private life that have to do with our own personal needs, in our personal space, that may give rise to thoughts, all right, of anxiety, or there's anxiety and you are anxious about certain things. God says, cast those things, which means take all of those things and make up your mind and say that now I am not going to make any request asking you to do anything concerning this. I'll show this here. In the next 21 days, I want to focus on something else, which I want to show. And what I'm doing is deliberately casting my care. The word cast means to haul at, to throw something at a person. It's the word that means when we cast out a devil. In other words, with force. So you are throwing that thing away from yourself. But then as Benny was speaking there and he talked about my care is a seed in the ground, I also thought about it. It's true. Because we cast a seed and it's that same word. So it's like you take your care and you sow it into God and say, I'm planting this seed. And when a farmer plants a seed, he leaves that seed undisturbed. He doesn't go back and start checking on the seed or else the seed will never grow and things will never happen. If he keeps pulling out the seed, then that seed will never grow. When a person puts their child in the care of somebody else, right, that means that this person now cares, right, for this particular child. Maybe they're going somewhere. They put their child in that person's care. Now, whether or not they feel the person is responsible, right, will be demonstrated as how much rest they have concerning that particular situation. If they don't have rest in their heart, it means they are really not sure and certain that this caregiver, right, will be able to give appropriate care to the child. So you find them calling. All right? And trying to make contact. How is the child? You know, how are you? Hope everything is fine. They do that every hour. Now, if you put in your child in the hands of a very responsible person, tell them, listen, don't you think I can't take care of a child or what? All right? You don't keep, you've cast your care there, right? Upon that person, and you have left it in the hands of that particular person. Right, for that period of time. So it's about taking first of all your care and giving it over unto God and saying, now God, the phone calls I will make to you, in other words, the prayers I'm going to offer, are not going to be about the welfare or well-being of this particular thing or things, but about something else which we want to look at and practice in the next 21 days and prove God, all right, by these things. Now, so you cast your care unto the Lord. He says, I will care for you. What does that mean? All right, what will he do? If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 10, it says, for the land whither thou goest to possess it, is not as the land of Egypt, from whence you came out, where you sowed your seed and watered it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs. But the land whither thou goest to possess is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. And what does that mean? The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. So if a person is giving care to your child, you expect the eyes of that person to be always upon the child. In other words, the child moves this way, which means if your eyes are off the child, then it's called negligence. So you come and comes and says, God forbid, so what happened? You know, we just decided, I was watching a film, and you know, I was focusing on the film, and I forgot. I didn't know when the child went there and fell down the stairs. And all that. I mean, you say, that's like a... So God says, listen, the minute you transfer something over to me, my eyes are on that thing. I'm monitoring that thing for you. I'm looking at that thing for you. Now, what I got from what Benny was saying here about planting it as a seed, he says, it will drink of the waters of the rain of heaven. In other words, when my eyes are on it, I will begin to water that thing. And from that place, things will start springing up. While you are about doing what I want to instruct you to do, all right, when rain begins to fall on the ground, things within the ground start coming up. Which means out of that area that you have been anxious and all of that, things now begin to spring up, all right, and things begin to grow. Things you are not even thinking about, God begins to work on that situation. Things begin to spring up in that place. It says, the eyes of the Lord are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of it. And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the commandments which I command you this day. And what are the commandments which you want to look at? So love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the latter first rain and the latter rain, and you might gather in thy corn, thy wine, and the oil. And I will send grass upon thy fields, all right, for thy cattle and all of that. So God says, I take care of your business. I cause rain to fall on those areas. But what I'm asking to do is to hearken to this commandment. So direct your love towards me and also to serve me. So we are looking at, in 21 days, living what we would have been praying in our own personal life. Now, I'm not talking about you. I mean, part of serving God will say this, right? It's helping people. God can ask you to pray for people. It's part of the service, right? But our own personal life, our own issues here. Now, when I woke up this morning, Lord said, you better tell them that when they cast their care, that you say they should put it in their mind that 3 days after something else might happen. And then you say, when I cast my care, this one was not covered. Do you understand what I'm saying here? All right? That they should still not touch it and focus on this and allow me to move. All right? Independent of all of that. And let my spirit move in that particular area where there's no disturbance, there's no, you're not troubling God. All right? But you've placed it in the hands of God. So it's about loving God. All right, with all of your heart. It's about serving him. What other scripture speaks to this? Isaiah 64 from verse 1 to 6. If you put it up, Isaiah 64 from verse 1 to verse 6. And it says this, oh, that thou wilt rend the heavens, and thou wilt come down, and the mountains might flow at thy presence. And when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil. To make thy name known unto thy adversaries, and the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, we looked not for. Thou came down, and the mountains flowed at thy presence. Since the beginning of the world. So you came down and did terrible things we were not expecting. In other words, things began to happen there. And what were these things? Not no man heard, no man perceived by the ear, neither had seen with the eye, beside thee, O Lord, what you have prepared for them that wait for him. So when you wait for somebody, it means you expect that person to come. So you are deliberately waiting for a visitation. Like I said 2 weeks ago, if I say I'm coming to your house tomorrow afternoon, then you wait and you're expecting that either a knock or the bell will ring or whatever way they communicate with you, that somebody is outside, you are waiting for that moment. So we are waiting there in anticipation of that visitation of God. Where? Because a sense of expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. Roberts always said, whenever he had miracle meetings, something good is going to happen shortly. He always said that. Bishop Jakes picked up on that. But he always said that, which means a sense of expectancy is a breeding ground for miracles. He says, he meeteth him that rejoiceth. So the two things we are doing is rejoicing, that's giving praise, and focusing on working righteousness. All right? Not trying to get God to move in that situation there, but trying to perfect our praise unto God and understanding that now I'm concentrating on working righteousness. And we'll explain what it means to work righteousness. Job 35 and verse 8. It says that your iniquity, Job 35, 8, your wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. So we are looking at working out righteousness. How can I be profitable unto people around me? How can I, that's the service. How can I be of service to people around me? That's the prayer. God, teach me, show me. All right? In these 21 days, every single day, in the next 3 weeks, I want to be of help to somebody. Every morning I'm going to wake up, praise you, and I'll teach you what that praise means, and give you glory, and my prayer is going to be open my eyes. Show me where I can be of service, who I can help. The Bible says the wicked man will not go to sleep until he has shed blood and done harm to somebody. And we are saying we will not go to bed until we have helped somebody. In other words, the man working righteousness says the day is not complete. Somebody has to be helped. Somebody has to be lifted up. And the prayer there is to say this, God, show me, teach me. It's no longer, well, you know, I'm talking about now, I've left all my own cares. I want to attend to what is right there. And you get up in the morning or before you sleep tonight and start today and pray to him and say, God, now I'm spending 30 minutes, I need to show somebody. And then you go out of your house, if that is the case, and you walk around. I need to see somebody I can help. Or maybe and you have to show me someone. And then God begins to talk to you. And he says, see that man right there? That is making shoes. You go and talk to that chap. And then you go there. And you begin to hear God's voice. Very easy. When you get into this thing of service. You sit down with him. And you hold a discussion. Or you pack your car and get down and say, let me talk with you. All right? You are beginning to get into the flow of the Holy Ghost. And while you are conversing with him, he tells you, well, you know, my child, has, you know, I've been giving her these traditional herbs because we have no money to buy the drugs. That you look at the person, how much is it? And he tells you, my child, you know, he's getting leaner and leaner, dying. And you've been driving past this person. You've splashed water around that area. Are you for what I'm saying here? Going home, Magra, Lord, my own need, Makra, Makra, Makra. And you're driving past. And they would never, and nothing, you didn't even know that was there. And you get there and you give him the 5,000, that might mean nothing to you. And as you are walking away, the Holy Ghost tells you that's not what you really need to do. Go back there. Buy the drugs yourself. Tell him to sit down. What's the name of drug? Go to the pharmacy. Get it. Call your friend. You have the network. He does it. Get the drugs. Give it to him. And then you get it to him and says, now give him another 10,000 because he needs other things now. If you leave this 5,000 with him without getting drugs, he's going to spend that money on something else. And the daughter is going to continue taking the herbs. Are you following that? The Holy Ghost begins to speak. You get into the ministry of the Spirit. Right? Once you cast your cares on him and you take that off and you say, well, it's not about me and my business. I'm telling you, you begin to get into the flow of the Spirit. And then he talks to you and you do that. And you say, well, that's true for today. God, is there any other person? And then you wake up next morning. As you wake up, he begins to speak to you again. He says, listen, now, look at this bag of rice that is here inside your house. Now, you cook this entire one heavy pot here. You go and get, he starts talking to you, into small containers. You get the turkey here, fry it and put the stew. Now, I want you to drive around the whole of Lekki. And as you're driving around, anybody you see across the road that seems not to have eaten, that is just sitting there, get down from your car and go and start giving them food. And you start getting into the ministry of the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. Are you following what I'm saying here? And you get there into the ministry of the Spirit. And you begin to open up and you find out that there have been masses of suffering people all around you. All right? That what you will not even have thought about. A plate of rice that you won't have. They look at you and they're in tears. And say, the last time I ate food like this was in 1997. You look at them. What you eat and after some time you just put aside. It tells you I've never eaten food like this. And then tells you a story. I mean, I was a vendor, used to sell things to me one day. And we got into a conversation. He said I was a naval officer. He told me how we lost. I could not believe it. He said I used to work in Navy and all that. And he told me all that happened. I looked at him. I said, and you got to this point where you're selling this. He said things were, how his wife left him, how his children. I mean, people have stories. And you might be walking past them. I mean, I've told this before, a friend of mine, a classmate of mine. He had the second largest church in Kenya, all right? And he was preaching. But now he had gone into service, he had started working in slums and all of that. Look, my friend, you can even be preaching the gospel and you are not really serving God. Because he says you come there and say, you we cast out devil in your name. You can be doing it for sure. Didn't we do this? Didn't we prophesy? He says you walk out of iniquity. In other words, there was no empathy in your heart. There was nothing. You were just going on. He said one day he sat down with God and he opened the Bible. Now, this was God's revelation to him. He told me, he looked at me and said, I mean, we're cousins from primary school. All right? And he said he looked at it and he saw Lazarus. And God showed him, he said, Lazarus was full of sores. Every day he was brought to the house of this rich man, to the front of the house of the rich man. And then he said, the next thing I saw was that Lazarus died. And immediately after, the rich man died. And God told him, he said, can you see there? He said, the assignment of the rich man was Lazarus. The minute Lazarus was gone, there was no need for him to be around. Remember, even when they got up there, the dynamics of their relationship was still there. There was still that connection. So God told him, better find your Lazarus before he dies. Whoever you are supposed to help, because your existence on this earth is connected to some people you have to help. He said, I got up and I said, God, where is my Lazarus? And God pointed to him, the worst slum in Africa, that is in Kenya. He said, go in there. He told me, he said, I've been trying to get into United Nations. He said, we are used there with nothing. He said, I was right there. It was right there in the slums that United Nations came to meet me and employed me and said we should do things. Now he's doing all kinds of things. All right? So there are many things God will open doors for you. Are you following what I'm saying here? If we start opening up our lives, right, to the service there. Then we put up Psalm 50 and verse 23. And God says, whosoever offereth praise, same thing here, glorifieth me, and unto him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of the Lord. So, the salvation will be shown, or will person will experience it, who offers praise, that's that vertical relationship again, and then who orders his conversation. The word conversation there doesn't mean speech. It's behavior. In other words, your conduct with your fellow man. Whosoever offereth praise glorifies me. And then that man who orders his conversation. Always true. Your vertical relationship with God and the way you treat men. That's why James said with one mouth you can bless God and that same mouth curse men. So you offer praise and your conversation, all right, is right. Now, let's go to verse 16 and read from verse 16, and then you'll see this conversation stuff, what he's saying. He says, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or thou shalt take my covenant in thy mouth? Verse 17, seeing that you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. Verse 18, when you saw a thief, you consented with him, and thou hast been a partaker with adulterers. Verse 19, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue to frame deceit. Verse 20, you sat and spoke against your brother and slandered your own mother's son. Verse 21, these things hast thou done, and I kept silent. And thou thought I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove you, that's correct you, and set them in order before your eyes. In other words, I will set it in order, that this is the order you should live by. He said, now consider this, ye that forget God, that you don't praise him, all right, lest I tear into pieces and there's none to deliver. 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And unto him that orders his conversation. So he's ordering his behavior according to the order that God set before his eyes. So in that prayer, we're asking God, open my eyes so I see the order for my life. So that's what the prayer is about. Show me so I know how to order my conversation, my horizontal relationship, all right, with men. How I will not be hurtful. In fact, Jabez's prayer, he said, God, you will enlarge my coast and keep me from evil. Isn't that what it says? All right. But what it says literally in English is that you will enlarge my coast and you will keep me from evil so that I do not cause pain with the prosperity you give me. In other words, you can start prospering and start hurting people and get oppressive. That's what Jabez's prayer was about. And so it's about God ordering, all right, that will keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now, that's how it is in King James. But in other translations, it says that you keep me from evil, that I might not be grievous, all right, unto other people. So some people become successful, and other people experience deep pain from that. Then finally, Hebrews 13 and verse 15 and 16, it says the same thing. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Then verse 16, but to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So a combination of praise and, scripture says here, doing good unto others. So I want to look at this praise, what praise really is. But before I get into that, just one more thing. 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. This is the principle they operated in the church at Macedonia. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 1. Alright? It tells us, moreover, brethren, we do you to know the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction. So they were going through things. The abundance of their joy. But even though they were going through things, there was an abundance of joy. And their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their generosity. Verse 3, it says, for to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, verse 4, praying us, in other words, telling them there with much entreaty that we should receive the gift. So these people, even though they were going through trial, decided that they were going to help other people, all right, who were going through some deep situations themselves. We should receive the gift. So they called Paul and said, we decided to do this and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints, which means it wasn't part of what they were doing. He said, take it upon yourself, all right, because we have a desire to do this. And this they did not as we hoped. So Paul was shocked at what he was seeing. Right? People going through Christ themselves, and he saw joy and he saw their generosity. They first gave of themselves to the Lord, all right, and that's in worship there and praise, worshiping God, ministering to him, and then unto us by the will of God. In other words, they did it. It wasn't Paul on the outside that said, you know, there are some people that have needs. No. It was by the will of God. So they were there in prayer, and God showed them. It was his will for their lives, showed them, like my friend that went into the slum, God showed him. It wasn't anything, it wasn't emotional. God showed him. All right, the widow at Zarephath, when the prophet was coming and there was famine, God said, I have commanded her. It wasn't like the prophet, when he said, she will minister to your need. So it's God that showed them that, listen, help the saints in this area. So it's about knowing God's will there and understanding that this is what and how I want to help people. And it doesn't have to be material. It could be that there's somebody somewhere who needs, all right, a word of encouragement. There is somebody somewhere, all right, where you will lift the spirit, all right, of that particular person, and you reach out to help people, and that's the order there. And what did God say to the church at Corinth? He said, "I will cause all grace to abound towards you." In other words, there is no grace that I have that is not coming in your direction. right? All grace to abound towards you, giving you sufficiency in all things. Now, what blocks this kind of care where rain begins to fall on our ground, where it starts falling right there, all right, on the soil of the people right there, okay? Rain begins to fall, okay, right there, is that we have taken off our own care and said, God, I've placed this in your hands. Now your eyes are upon this while I now go, right, to do what you will want me to do. And God says, then rain now begins to fall. Right? Because idolatry is gone, rain, the heavens are open, rain begins to fall. And you are not glorifying. Most people, most times our praise is gauged by how well we feel God is moving in our situation. In other words, here we're going to get into it because the real teaching is on praise. What this praise is, it has nothing to do, nothing to do. My friend, if you see God, if God shows up and he appears to you and you see God in his glory, you're not going to praise him because of how heaven is. You're not going to praise him because of streets of gold. You look at him and worship him. All right? It is his person, his being that you are going to bow down before. It is who he really is and the glory that is coming out of him. When they cried out, holy, 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 it wasn't because of anything God. They saw God. Uzziah said, I saw the Lord. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, holy, holy, here am I, send me. The only thing he could say was, here am I, send me. He said, listen, holy, and was worshiping God as the holy God. So, that praise there, all right? Now, please understand this. This challenge is not that, okay, I'm not praying about my cares again now. I'm praising God for it. No, no, no. We are saying you are casting the care to the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Yeah. I say, okay, now we are just singing over it. We are, God, we are not praying, no. Well, God, we are praising you now, all right? You let the earth heal the sin. God, God, all right? It's a new formula to attack our issue. What we are saying is that, do you understand what we're saying here? We are casting that care over. That is, God, you will not hear about this matter from my lips in the next 21 days. I'm telling you what will happen. You won't be able to go back to your previous understanding. Are you following what I'm saying? You will understand that this is the flow. You will understand that this is how the supernatural is opened up to a person. You will get it. Now listen, this is how, all right, this particular thing works.
Thank you for listening.